It's that late night wet wipe stuff, man.
Wet wipe.
Dads.
Late night.
Comedians.
Wet wipe.
Get me?
Three dads, and they're all quite funny. Only started this podcast to make some money. Spotify deals and comedy tours on the agenda. Let me introduce all members. KJ, yeah, he put this thing together. Might be the reason that it falls apart. Came from the hip, but he talks from the heart. Ride or die for the team, you know it's Kazee. Darren Griffiths, getting told off by the missus. Been a dad longer than the other two. An integral member of the crew. Where he's from, they like to say, oi, oi. Darren Griffiths, aka the Essex boy. The doctor, always thinking about a sponsor. Keeps the pod on track, loves prayer,
just
that's a
fact.
Got a BBL just for the brothers that are black. It's Mike.
And this is Late Nights and Wet Wipes.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of them Late Nights and them Wet Wipes. You know who this is, you know who I be. I'm one of your co-hosts, Michael Akadiri. And to my left, I'm joined by the esteemed...
I'm bringing it back! Dunno, leader of the Peaky Bumbaclots. Yeah. Nines is younger, 4.5. Album just landed.
Yeah, I've been
quit checking. While you're ahead.
I've been listening.
Yeah. I had half a London high. Whoa. Whoa.
Do you know the funniest lyric? I'm going to mess it up. Obviously, he said it much better than this, but he said, I was hitting keys I couldn't see, like Ray Charles. I thought, I like that. I see what he did there.
Yeah, man.
I see what he did there.
He's in the top three rappers of all time. UK rappers. Yep.
Do I want to stand here and sit here and debate that?
Who's better than Nines? Tell me.
Put your paper.
Put your paper's not better than Nines.
I think he is.
The best rappers in the UK.
But it depends. Are you talking like storytelling rappers or just rapper in general?
Just rap in general.
Oh, I'll put Dave above Nines.
Blade Brizzy Brown.
I put Blade Brown above. That's a preference, but I put Blade. I prefer Blade.
Nines. And it can either be, and put a paper and Dave can fight it out between themselves. Honorable mention to Wretch 3-2.
Okay.
He could be in there. Wretch 3-2.
Yeah, he can bar. Just not my personal.
He's a bars.
Yeah, he can bars. Bars.
But I went to church to pray for a top 10. Then I went number 5. I ain't been back again. I swear I only came for the music. But it's like, the more I touch notes, the more I get stupid. What? Excuse me, my friend.
All right, man. Before,
I think I must have bumped my head.
Before we get copyright infringed.
I worked on that music video, by the way.
What do you mean you worked on the music video?
The Wretch 3-2 featuring Etta Bond Forgiveness music video. I was working on that set.
What'd you doing on the set?
I was a runner. Fucking hell.
Well, how did you mind up doing that?
Case. Throwback. When SBTV and everyone was popping.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what? I've always been feeling my creativity,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, I want to make music videos.
Okay.
So I started making music videos for my cousin.
What was he, a single rapper?
He's a rapper.
Okay.
Still is. Shout out to Raj Forever.
Oh, big up Raj.
So I was doing music videos around the ends. I did music videos for him. I did some music videos for a guy named Bullet, and I did a music video for another guy called...
I didn't like Bullet.
Yeah.
That was his...
But he wasn't ganged off. I don't know why that was his name. I think he changed his name later on. I did some music videos around the town, man. Some freestyles. I was working with a blog called... was it Grime Online? Grime Online. They would send me here, there and everywhere to film like grime sets and stuff. I was really doing my thing, yeah?
Were you just in the Get My Experience Up phase, or were you getting money for this phase?
The Grime Online guy would pay me. So okay, I would film, and he would put it on his site, and he'd pay me to just get the footage.
Okay, nice.
And then, basically, there was this guy called Matthew Walker, who was, you know, I guess they still are, very good friends with Scorcher.
Mm-hmm.
And they started a company called Staple House.
Okay.
Yeah, and that was a video product, like film production company, and he put out a request. He was like, anyone that wants to work on this Skepta video, wants to be an extra on this Skepta video, hit me up. And I got all my friends, better people in the ends, I got all my friends to just spam him and say, get Kazim.
Well, to be an extra on the...
No. But I said, I don't want to be an extra. I just want to volunteer and work.
Okay.
So that day, New River Sports Stadium. It's up the road from where we are.
Okay.
And then basically, I did a bit of work on that. He didn't really have much for me to do on that one. But then he hit me up proper and was at the Rich Free 2 video. And I got sent through like the whole dossier of how the day was going to go and did it. My name was on it and everything. Oh, and I was a runner on that. And I started at like 8 o'clock in the morning, West London somewhere at the church. Bro, we didn't finish until 1 o'clock the following morning.
A busy day. Busy day.
But they fed us. I got to meet Rich Free 2. I got to meet Scorcher. I had a really good conversation with Scorcher. Obviously, in the previous one, I met Skepta briefly. I was meant to work on a Getz video, but it snowed that day, and boy, I lived on a cul-de-sac them times. Couldn't even get the whip out there. Anyway, so yeah. And if you watch that music video, near the end of the music video, there's a bit where he's looking in I don't know what you would call it in the church, but it's filled up with water.
Okay. Where the holy water is.
He's looking in it,
mm-hmm.
and he sees his reflection. I'm going to give you some inside baseball now.
Come on, let's hear it.
There's no actual water in that basin.
What, CGI?
No. We had to fill up a paddling pool by hands, going back and forth with a jug and fill up a paddling pool. That's what his reflection is actually in. So the way they shoot it from kind of like a low shot, and he's looking in it, so you don't actually see the inside of the basin. And then they cut to his reflection, which would make it look like it was in there. And they cut back to him.
Sick! Is that... And then, did you take that any further? The running, the sort of film, behind the camera stuff?
No, not really, because then obviously my rugby stuff kind of progressed and whatnot. And I kind of put that on the back burners. But obviously, I still want to make films and write films. And produce films, so...
So you've always had a creative sort of bug in you then?
Always, man. Even in school, I orchestrated this whole piece in drama. And when it came to parents' evening, the teacher said if he was in year 11, he would have got an A star for what he did.
What year were you?
Like year 8 or something.
Why couldn't they give you a grade at year 8?
For what? For drama?
Yeah.
I hadn't taken it as an option. It was just a lesson. But they said...
At the GCSE, but in the... because it would have been graded. It was just a performance. I get you.
It was just like, can you... Like, everyone had to, like, recreate the scene.
Okay, like, got you. She's just bigging you up.
Yeah, and without even knowing it. Like, I was directing it. I didn't even know I was doing it.
Oh,
I was like, right, you're going to come in from here, and this is the boom, boom, boom. And I did it all, and then stuff like that. And, yeah, and then she said, if that was your...
Practical
working drama. Yeah, man. And then they tried to make me go to some... at first, they was like, you should go to... Like, we're going to refer you to the Brit school. This one teacher was like, we should refer you to the Brit school.
And yeah, like, performance art school, right?
I've never really been on this acting thing. I was like, nah, I'm good. And then they tried to get me to go to some black youth drama school, like as a extracurricular activity. And I was like...
How come you weren't really on it?
I don't really care about acting like that. I care about production. And do you know what it is? Is I could give you a camera.
Yeah.
And it would grind my gears. Like not specifically for you, anyone. It would grind my gears to try and show you what I want.
Okay.
I'd rather you be the lead and I know what I want and I'll shoot it. You get me? Because I know what I want it to look
okay,
like.
Okay, so you know your vision.
Yeah, and then you start obviously talking to the gaffer. You know what that is?
Well, the... Not DOPs, the...
Gaffer is...
Director?
No, he's the head of lights. Head of lighting is the gaffer.
Is that on set?
Mm-hmm. That's an actual film term. He's the gaffer. You start talking to him and you start talking... You don't call them DOPs, really.
What do you call
them? That's a fake term.
Why do I always see it banded about?
Or is it the other way around? Yeah, DOP is a fake term. It's the cinematographer.
Got you.
And you go, this is, as a director, you go, right, then I want you to fucking punch in like that, and then boom, boom, and then focus. But you start to telling their vision, and then they are the man, they are the person with the camera, specifically, that has that masterstroke. And then you tell them your vision, and you so as a director, you're not just directing the actors, you're directing the cinematographer, you're directing the lighting, you're directing audio, you're directing
that's why they're the busiest person on the set, because they're always
directing everyone, not just the talent.
That desirable job, man, that's why they get paid the big bucks.
Well, if you make good films, you do. If you make pants films, you don't.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, like any walk of life, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I don't know if I'd actually want to be a director, though. That's all day on set. I'd really like to write a film and produce a film.
Okay, so you don't mind, but then that's handing over the creative reins to someone else, isn't it? If you've written it, you produced it, but in terms of how it will look, that'll be on the director, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So, but would you be happy to? Because you just said, I know how I want something to look. So, with that in mind, would you be
able
to...
I guess it depends on my, like, affinity to the script. Like, if I'm not that attached to... Like, if I'm writing it knowing that I want to sell this or whatever, then I'm not too... But if this is a film I want to make, then I'm going to be like, yeah, let's go.
Hands on.
Long days.
Not good. And was your mom, just to link to parenting, was she very supportive of your creative outlets? Did she really mind what you sort of ended up doing?
Yes and no, because obviously some of the equipment was expensive and she had to pay for it. And I was like, yeah, I'll pay you back. And to this day, I've never paid her back for it. And she does not mind reminding me 15 years later.
As a teenager, she can't. I'm guessing these equipment was hundreds of pounds. She's not going to spend.
She got me a Canon and it was like £500.
Woo! Yeah. But you can't expect, obviously, when you're like, I'm going to pay you back, did she seriously think, oh, that was going to happen?
Yeah, she did, yeah.
Hilarious.
Because she still mentions it now.
Yeah, well, that's just so you know what's really good. Sometimes it's not even the money, it's just the fact that she's got that in her back pocket. Yeah. She needs to draw it out.
Nice. That's why I really want to become successful, so I can just give her a chunk of money and go, shh. Over now.
It's done. Done. No more angle.
Yeah, no more. It's done.
No more angle. You got to let it go.
What is done is done.
Well, it is, it is. Well, it is, it is. Before we get into, I guess, the main bit of the pod, I just wanted to take this opportunity right here on Late Nights and Wet Wipes to appreciate this man to my left, Kazeem Jamal. I'm on tour right now. Trust me, my daddy.
Come on, get your tickets.
Get your tickets, man. We've got several dates left. By the time this comes out, we will have Chelmsford Friday, the 25th of October. We've got 3 dates in November, including Nottingham, Southampton, and finishing off in Cambridge. But this man to my left, he very kindly put himself forward to support a couple of the dates. One in Brighton on the coast, and then the big one in London in Leicester Square Theatre. And he sort of put himself forward. He said, yeah, I want to do it. And till this day, I've been saying, let me pay you for your time and your service. And Kazeem is adamant that he doesn't want any payment. And now, thinking about what we've discussed with his mother, maybe he just wants to hold this against me. I don't know.
No.
But it's favour for favour. I owe him 2 opening slots whenever he gets his ass into gear and gets on tour. So
2026, I think.
2026, so yeah. In 2026, I owe him 2 opening spots. That's it. That's how it goes. That's how we do it in this business.
What I will say, obviously, I know that's like 50% comedic effect of like, you owe me, whatever. We don't owe each other anything. You're my friend. I'm proud of you, and so
appreciate me.
You know, the least I could do was offer some services, whether you wanted them or not, but you kindly agreed. It was a pleasure, man. It's like back in the day, I watched this a Meek Mill interview. Okay, guys, I know he's in.
you watched the Meek Mill interview for inspiration? What were you watching it for?
Well, this was when he first came onto the scene. Pause.
From Philly.
Yeah. All right. This was
from West Philly.
This is when he first broke out. All right, and he was talking about like. Because obviously there was a wave of just like Meek Mill, French Montana, Wale, just like a wave.
Yeah,
like
in the tens, yeah, yeah, even
like
Rick
Ross, like kind of reinventing himself with this kind of new sound and
yeah,
and you know, there was just yeah,
yeah, the early tens was like yeah,
it was crazy.
Huge wave, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he was talking about like working with these different artists, and he was kind of like saying like he doesn't charge like French his feature fee. You know what I'm saying? And I think those are always good things to like just take on board and whatnot, and be like, no, I'm not. It's not about me trying to say, oh, Mike's on tour, let me see if I can get a couple of spots and get some extra peas in or whatever like that. Like, we saw each other at the beginning, like we didn't really know each other, bumping into each other here and there,
no doubt.
Then to now for you to be on tour, your second tour, by the way.
Yeah, man, we're trying.
It's big stuff, man. So, you know, selfishly, I just wanted to be a part of it and give you your flowers. And,
appreciate it.
And I did a couple of tour open spots for some other acts, and they were telling me like when they don't have like a MC or someone to open, and you were saying, I alluded to it a little bit as well, but that it's just it's a cold open.
Oh, that's very cold, man.
So I thought if I can try and help alleviate that and warm them up a little bit, and then go and then make the you know, the beginning parts of your time maybe an easier field to navigate, then why not?
Oh, most definitely, man. And
as
yeah,
well as working with my friend, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, most definitely, yeah. Definitely, I don't want to bore the audience too much comedy chat, but definitely having you open made it a lot easier because they were already warm and the energy was set from the start. Going on where I've done, when I've done my up north dates and Scotland dates, yeah, it takes about 10 minutes into the show for everyone to really get what's going on. Really get what's going on. And to be honest, I did have the option of going, I should have explored, I didn't always explore it, the option of just doing the opening bit myself. It clearly won't be as sort of, I think it's better to have two different people doing it because you lose the spontaneity, don't you? But that's something I could have done, which I didn't do. But either way, it's better to have sort of someone else completely doing it. Different or even angle,
sometimes
different
other acts, they would come out and they would do maybe like 5-10 of pure MCing. And then in my head, I was like, right, let me just come out and do my set.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed just kind of just like...
Oh, you just messed around with the crowd, man.
Yeah, just doing that, man. You know,
because they enjoy it. Like, I know people are like, oh my goodness, I don't want him... Like, some of my friends after, oh man, he was looking my way, I was trying to avoid him. But that's fun in itself, you know. Yeah. Because, you know, it's just a bit of banter, that's a bit silly. We know it's going to be a bit of a joke.
Because
in the room, you can't be in the room. And that's the sometimes annoying thing about crowd work. When it goes good... You're like, damn, this written stuff, I don't even know if they want to hear it.
Yeah, sometimes it's like, shall I even tell them a joke? But I did make a mistake that I would like to apologise for. I hope no one said anything to you afterwards or anything like that. But, okay, the way Leicester Square Theatre was set up, obviously you went out there, you saw it, is that you can see the middle and then the darkness is then just goes back and to the sides.
Yeah.
I looked to my left and I thought it was a group of guys and one girl.
Oh, no, I ain't had no complaints about this, so you good.
Before I walked over there, I said openly, let me talk to this group of guys and a girl. And as I approached, it became very evident that it wasn't a group of guys and a girl. It was two guys and two girls.
Double date.
So, I don't think that's misgendering someone, because...
No, you got it wrong, but it's
not... I got it wrong.
Yeah, it's not you... There's a difference between... getting it wrong and being intentionally mean.
And it was dark. Malicious. It wasn't like I had a full view of this person.
Yeah.
And then that was a real awkward spot because then the woman was like, we don't know them and I'm not a man. And I was like, yeah, I can see that. Now that I'm closer to you, I can see.
And
you.
Yeah.
And then I thought, let me just get myself out of this hole. Pause. And I started talking to this guy and like, we got everyone aboard ticket, love. But this guy was just a dry piece of wood. Pause. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, you could get no change out of him.
I was asking him his name. He was like, I won't say his name, but he's like, Pete. He's like, what do you do? He's like, engineer. And I was like, what? Oh, and
I've got engineers coming to the show. Bang, bang, gang, gang.
Nah, but like, he wasn't giving me nothing. Like, nothing. So then I just had to kind of take the mic out of him. So what it turned out is he was an architectural website engineer. So I was like, oh, so you build websites?
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah. And I said, you know what? You can't build. This is a fucking conversation, right? And then I just was like, you know what, mate? I just said it really like deadpan. I was like, I'm going to move on.
Yeah.
And that got a laugh. And I was like, I'm out.
Yeah,
and
exit.
I think that's when I went and spoke to what I kind of guessed early on was your brother.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of brought everything full circle.
Yeah.
And we were good, you know. Thank God for your brother and his friends.
Yeah, because I had
exhausted the front row.
Oh, like, shit.
I had no other options.
You had no other angle.
It would have been material time.
No, it's good balance. And it's nice when you have people, I guess, that you know. Because they're going to... Oh, you didn't know it was my brother, but he's not gonna derail anything. So he's gonna be good for it, and then you know the energy's gonna be good for it.
Yeah, his friends were a good laugh as well, man.
Oh, absolutely.
And then the final set of ladies that I talked to in the middle, they were good fun as well. So
the midwives.
No. The row behind the midwives.
Oh yeah,
they said something about. I was like, how do you all know each other? And they were like, we all do gym. And I went, oh, lucky gym.
As in, oh, lucky guy.
They bang one guy.
Yeah,
gym.
Well, lucky guy.
And then I pointed back to your brother. Because your brother was like you say, not going to derail anything. But I was like, what's your name? He was like, Anthony. And like he was like, and I don't know if you heard. I was like, I feel very...
I heard the joke. So, that, yeah.
He didn't give me like paragraphs of dialogue.
Yeah.
So then it was like, I when they said they all do one guy, they all do gym... I went back and I was like, look, Anthony and Amanda were perked up. They're like, what, does Jim need a friend? Mad. So that was all fun and that. And then I think everyone forgot that I accidentally misgendered someone.
Oh, no. But I think if it's not intentional, I think the audience, the crowd are there with you. So they've seen everything from the start. So
I couldn't apologise. I don't know if you understand why I couldn't apologise.
Yeah.
Right then on the spot.
Yeah, I guess.
Because then it just puts me in that.
Yeah, you don't look awkward.
And then I've lost my authority.
Yeah. Especially, obviously, she made me look. Then you just kind of like try, play it off, and then you know. But you didn't do it with any malice, innit? No, so, man. You know, that's the main thing. You know your heart.
Shouts out to that lady.
Yeah, no doubt, man. Yeah, it's dope. It was nice, man. So, thanks again for doing that. I know it's not favour, but I know in myself, I'm like, all right, man. Whenever 2026 comes around, you need somebody.
No doubt, man.
I'll be there, and then we can do our thing. So yeah, that's nice. One thing I do want to say, I nearly got involved in an accident on the way here.
Oh shit, no.
Car accident. Yeah, some absolute numpty. There's two lanes. There's a bus lane, and then there's the regular lane.
What car were you driving first?
The what's it called? GLB.
Okay, it wasn't me.
No, that's the car I was driving. I don't know this car. I don't know what car they were driving. Oh. So it doesn't help. It was grey, charcoal grey.
Okay, still wasn't me.
So I'm in the bus lane. They're clearly on the other lane. They're indicating to turn left to cut me up when they should. You can't. I don't know why you're trying to turn left, knowing that you've got to cut another lane.
Was this by the bus garage?
Not further up the road, so between the bus garage and the A406.
Where you can turn right, it's a right only.
No. This one at the traffic light. It just essentially they want to turn left, which is fine. But I'm just saying you have to know that the where you're gonna, like any driver, you have to know where you're turning into is clear.
Because
if there was a bus there, you wouldn't try to turn left. So the fact that I'm a car, you shouldn't try to turn left. You should let me go, then turn when it's safe. But they didn't care. They just went and went. So I had to jump on the brakes and basically do an emergency start. Fortunately, didn't hit them. And the annoying thing for me, I was like, I can't afford, in terms of time, for an accident to happen.
Yeah.
It's not about the damage to the car or the payment. Obviously, that's an inconvenience and whatever. I was just more like, I can't afford the time. I can't afford an accident. Because the ramifications, obviously, my wife and I, we share the car. So if the car, there's an accident in the car and she can't drive it, then that means she can't go to work. And that has its own ramifications. So, and I also thought about, this is less important, but if I'm doubling between two gigs on a Saturday and I'm kind of just rushing to get to the second gig, I can't afford an accident. There's no time in the schedule for a car accident.
Yeah.
And I guess that the whole point of a car accident, no one plans them anyway. But I just thought, rah, like, I'm in the space of my life where I can't afford the time.
Yeah.
For something to grow. I guess loads of our lives are quite precarious. That we're balancing stuff. We're balancing so many things. And if one thing's happened that knocks you off kilter.
Knocks everything else out. Do you know, I agree with you there. And I've been having my own difficulties with transportation in a car.
Mm.
And it is because I'm actually getting to the point where I'm so sick and tired. People acting tough because they're in their car.
Oh, now, the road rage bandits.
Not even super road rage, but I would like this to put in a disclaimer here to say, I'm not a tough guy, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a dickhead, but I'm not a tough guy. I'm not like...
You're in the middle.
Yeah. You can't boy me, but like, if there's better man them in the car, like, it's all good, innit?
Oh, yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
You apologize to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt.
No, it's no dramas.
Yeah, easy. Yeah. No Peaky Blinders, no dramas.
No dramas. But there's been a couple of times now, and this happened to me recently. I can't remember where I was driving back from, but I was driving towards, driving home anyway, and I'm doing 70 in the fast lane, yeah?
Yeah.
There's no one behind me. Then all of a sudden, this van comes zooming up behind me. Now, I've got no problem moving to the left.
To shifting. You don't mind
shifting? I don't mind. But let me tell you something, people. The minute you flash me, I ain't going nowhere.
Stubborn.
I ain't fucking leaving.
You holding it down?
I'm holding it down. And I'll tell you another thing. If you flash me again,
yeah,
I'll brake check you.
Oh, wow. You see how good their legs are? I'll brake check
you. Because I know you go in the back of me.
Yeah, they're in the wrong. 100%. They're in the wrong. Yeah, you get rear-ended, they're in the wrong.
And let me tell you, my neck, my back, my pussy and my crack,
woo,
will all be hurting.
That's it. You come out of the car with the neck brace on.
All right, immediately.
That was getting it. Why you got neck brace?
I'll tell my agent, hey, quickly mock up some invoices that show that I get paid £5,000 a show. So that when I get my loss of earnings, I say, I've lost out on 10 shows.
Hey, man. Come on.
You haven't thought this through, my friend. Anyway, this guy is flashing me. Brake check him a couple times. Man just leaving his headlights on. I said, whatever. Turns him off, starts flashing me again. Remember, we was going like 70. I've slowed him all the way down to like 50 now.
Okay, in the fast lane.
Yeah, so it's late at night though, so there's no one around.
Why didn't he just go undertake you?
Because apparently that part of the rules,
yeah,
they don't want to break.
Mm.
When it comes to speeding...
Yeah, they're good with it.
They're happy to break the rules.
Yeah.
But when it comes to undertaking, they don't want to break the rules.
Mm.
You know? And the only reason I don't really speed like that is because I get too many fines as it is.
Okay.
And like you say, if you get too many, you get a ban. It's just not worth it.
Yeah, no doubt.
Anyway, now, he must be coming off at the next junction, innit? But so am I, but I've not really realised it. So he's zoomed past me and he's gone like this. Give me
that's there. Standard, isn't it? Yeah? Standard part of the highway code.
But remember when I said I'm not a dickhead?
Okay.
So he doesn't know that I'm coming off at the same junction as him.
Yeah.
So we both come off at the same junction. We meet these traffic lights at the roundabout.
Describe the guy to me. Describe to the audience so we kind of know.
So when I pull up.
Yeah, what do you see?
I'm on badness now.
Okay, you're pissed.
I'm pissed.
Okay, you're but pissed.
I'm not like, so I'm just going to see what he's on.
Okay.
So I've pulled up to the side of the van now, and I've wound down my window. I'm seeing like a Caucasian male.
Okay.
You know, glasses, you know, just standard.
What age?
Roughly. You know, mid to late 30s.
Okay, maybe. Fine. All right, so he's probably got 5 years on you or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. And, but my point being is I pulled up and I'm not any further threatened by you.
Okay.
By the visual.
So what was it? The glasses? What was it?
It was just the whole ensemble.
Okay. His aura wasn't threatening.
Yeah. Just wasn't threatening.
Okay.
You know? So I've wound down the window now and I said, like, what is it? And he goes, you're driving like a dickhead. I said, I was going to speed limit. And he started driving like that once you started flashing.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I'm going to speed. I'm doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Okay. But forget all that. What is it?
Okay.
Man's still talking about driving. I said, yo, we're not talking, this is past tense. Do you want to get out? So talking about driving, do you want to get out now?
And it, what?
Because
what,
I was on getting out.
What? Why are you? How did you get there so fast?
Because Michael, I'm tired of these tough guys in their cars.
But I don't think he was acting tough.
No, just drive past me and do this.
Well, you're welcome.
But and to be zoomed.
That's part and parcel. No, of driving, do you know what it is? That's like, it's okay. Like it should be in the highway code, really.
Okay,
true.
Okay.
It should be in the highway code.
Alright, fair enough.
One car prick, fair knobhead, enough. Whatever.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. There's two things here, okay?
Yeah.
One, keep that energy then when I pull up. When we're stationary, still be doing this
and all. But maybe this. He's gone over it.
Also, two, this is the straw that broke the camel's back.
What, the wanker?
This just this person. So there's been other incidences here.
What, with this individual?
No. Just on the road.
Yeah.
And I'm sick and tired of these tough guys in their whips.
Okay, so he was part of a... Okay.
He's getting the
aggression from...
The full brunt of...
Of the previous.
Previous, many, various different altercations.
Yeah.
And I'm telling man, get out. If you're really...
No, but did you say get out to him?
Yes, but man's still talking about driving. I said, stop. Do you want to get out or not? If you don't want to get out, stop talking.
What did he say?
The light went green, I blew in front of him again, yeah? Started driving slow again.
You're a top dickhead.
It doesn't end. We've gone round and round about. We've gone back onto this next motorway now, yeah?
Mm.
Both of us.
And where, how far away from home are you two? Are you?
I'm about 15 minutes from home.
Okay, fine.
Yeah? I'm about 15 minutes from home. Yeah? I've entered the motorway. He's entered the motorway. And he's flown past me.
Yeah.
I said, no, I'm not having this. What do I do?
You followed him, okay.
I followed him. And I wasn't going to do... I'm not going to do nothing. But I want him to know... that I could have really been a madman.
So you're giving him a warning shot.
I'm giving him a life lesson. And I'll tell you why I'm giving him this life lesson.
Okay.
But I'm giving him a life lesson. I diverted myself from home.
To follow
this guy.
Don't you think that's insanity?
No.
Why not?
Because my reasoning was good. Anyway, we drive. We hit this next roundabout. Tell me why a man goes round it three times.
Oh, he wanted to see if you were really following him.
Yeah.
And how many times did you go around it?
Three times. And then he turns off, I turn off, following him, and he drives into his depot, and I just spin it and go. And I was like, but the reason is because I was, years ago, I was honking this guy, cutting him up. And he's arguing, I'm like, what? Shut up. Anyway, he's in front of me. Driving, he takes a left onto this side of the road. I said, let me give him one more honk.
Yeah. Any wanker, any knobhead? You didn't add any of that?
No, I just honked him.
Just honked. Pause. Okay.
He spun it.
Okay.
He spun it. And started following me.
Okay, how long for?
Minutes.
Okay.
But whilst we're going up this road, this side road now, that has a lot of congestion on it always, some people get it through, then you go, there's a lot of stop-start. Yeah. Tell me why I look in the rearview mirror and he's got a baseball bat hanging out the window.
Out the window?
Out the window.
Okay.
With a female in the passenger seat.
In the passy.
And the car is swerving left and right. And my girl is just like this. Like she's seen this before. She's not...
Oh, she ain't phased.
She's just happy that the abuse is not being directed to her.
Oh, wow.
That's the vibe you got. That's the vibe I got.
Hot damn.
Man's rolling with baseball bat. I said, this is long. And now I'm on this road with congestion. I'm saying to myself, this car, my car...
Yeah.
...cannot stop.
You're like, keep going.
My car cannot stop.
Regardless if you're on E or not, just keep going.
It's got to go.
That's hilarious.
Right? Now we get to the top of the road and I'm trying to do a whole like James Bond Fast and Furious, isn't it? Yeah. I'm trying to drive and then take sharp turns to lose him.
So you're not indicating.
So that he can't turn as quickly as
So you're going in last minute.
Lastminute.com.
Yeah.
He's saying, dickhead, I can drive too.
Rah.
He's still following me. Eventually he turns off, goes elsewhere. And that was a lesson to me.
What was your plan? Like, did you have a plan? Like, if it got to a point where he then tries to overtake you and cut you up and then stop?
Hey, I'll run you over.
Okay.
I mean, fear of my life. I use reasonable force. You have a baseball bat in your hand.
Yeah. You thought your life was in danger.
I'll run into you. Standard.
You said, okay. No hesitation.
Yeah. You're Do you want to keep your legs?
And what was your plan with the van guy? If when you went to him and said, what is this? And he said, all right, let's go.
Off the roundabout. I wasn't going to do anything.
No, when you were at the lights.
Yeah.
And you're asking him, what is it? What is it?
Yeah.
And he said, all right, let's go. Let's say he pops out and said, let's go. What would you say at that point?
I wasn't going to do anything.
So you're going to tell him, he's like, no, I'm out of my car now.
You're a waste man, I'm driving off.
I don't feel, some people would be like, all right, fair enough. Some people would be like, no, I'm cracking something.
You're a waste man. I mean, I rattle you that much, you got out of your car. Waste man, drive off.
Ah! Road rage is crazy though.
Yeah.
But you got, I think, I'm of the opinion that, you know, the whole standard one, as long as it's not more than one car, knob head, two fingers as you're driving off, because standard, then...
Happened to me the other day. Driving down the side road towards my house. Car just pulls out from a parked position trying to bang a three-point turn.
Mm.
No indication, nothing.
Rude.
So as they've hit the first point, and I'm going to reverse, I've gone.
Yeah, you're not waiting.
Yeah, because you haven't respected me, so I'm not going to respect you. They bib me. I hit the brakes. Reverse. I said, sorry, pardon me? Saying, what the fuck is that? I said, you didn't even indicate. Think. Say go. They said, go. I went.
Well, that's the thing. You got to understand what you try to do.
I just want them to understand.
Like, what, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, when you reverse, it's like, what are you trying to do?
I'm trying to. It's all coming from a good place. I'm trying to let these people know there are real madmen out there. I met one of them.
So you're
they followed me with a baseball bat.
Yeah.
I met one of them. So what I'm trying to let you know is that I'm trying to scare you enough to make you think twice in the future. Because you might fuck one of these real madmen.
And no then chance.
Your dance is done.
Yeah.
Party, lock off.
Fucking lock it, everything lock
You're
off.
You're on a t-shirt.
Come on, man. Section boys, everything lock off.
Yeah? People aren't talking to you, they're remembering you.
Hey, come on.
Okay?
That's fun.
I'm trying to help you, man.
Yeah, you're doing this at community service.
Yes. No, yes.
It's not a selfish thing.
I could have been service. A really mad guy.
But you're not. Yeah, your mom raised you well.
I'm just trying to let you know, what if I was, and I've reversed it now, I've pulled up to you in the lights, if I come out now and I smash out your windows and everything like that, or what if that courier driver was driving all the way home? I wasn't going to follow him for long. But what if that courier driving all the way home, now I know where you live.
Scary.
Yeah, think about your actions. Bib when someone's about to crash into you. That's it.
I see the angle, I see the community service, I respect it.
Yeah, man.
But I'm wary that you may bump into the wrong one as you're trying to do your community service, that's all.
Oh, I analyse.
Oh, so what's the criteria for you? Like, okay, let's see you put up to the lights now, this van. What would have been a description that you would have saw and been like, you know what?
If I had heard trap music coming from the car, drill music...
That is the worst criteria.
The type of car.
Okay, what car scares you?
If I'm seeing like BMs, Mercs, Audis, Tints. Do what you want! This is the madman I'm trying to avoid.
This is stereotyping 101.
Dude, you are the mad people I'm trying to avoid.
Have you got your manual from the Metropolitan Police? This is crazy.
I didn't say any demographic.
I don't the cars.
Let me tell you something. You said music and cars.
Yeah,
the music, that's one. But the cars, yeah. Do you know how many times I've seen tinted out sports cars, yeah? And I've pulled up and it's just Albanian dons in there.
Mm.
Listening to like
No, but there's Albanian like drum rap and stuff.
Yeah,
like
they're not to be played with either.
Yeah.
And they listen to, yeah, like you say, they listen to drum rap. Mm. I'm just saying, if I hear a type of music, okay, yeah, if I see a type of car, if I'm in a certain location.
Okay, what locations?
I don't want to say.
No. Like, just say. Just like, give me one. Just give me one location that you're like, you know what?
Petnam.
I thought they said they gentrified Peckham, but
no.
Not enough.
You've been to Peckham at nighttime?
No, I've been Peckham right before. Yeah.
Nighttime.
Yeah, late. Well, I've done gig there. They've got the lounge right by Peckham Rice Station.
Yeah, by the station. In, out.
Yeah, in, out. Yeah.
Every time I go Peckham, don't tell the story about the madman.
What happened?
That told me he was going to fucking kill me.
Why?
I didn't tell you the story.
No.
I tell it on stage. So basically, I'm doing this filming thing for a different agency. Cleared it with my agency. They said, yeah, go do it. But it's in Peckham.
Oh, I know what agency you're talking about. Go on.
Yeah. And when he says in Peckham, I was like, oh, every time I go Peckham, I'm just
trying to
one of the one places in South London I don't feel comfortable ever.
I've done my public health trivia filming there. Great.
Swear down. Good thing I wasn't on that episode, working on that episode, because you'd have been there by yourself. Anyway, I'm calling the guy now and I'm like, I can't find it, please direct me.
Mm.
And I'm seeing a guy, and this is how I describe him on stage. The only way I can describe this guy is visually schizophrenic.
That's crazy.
Like his apparel, is schizophrenic. Yeah, good pun. It's crazy. He's got on tracksuit bottoms, dusty trainers. You know when man them tied a knot once, part of it come loose, but they're not so tight. That's just their laces now.
Yeah. Just they're basically slip-ons.
Yeah, dusty.
Mm-hmm.
Boxers, but like, I'm talking like not like briefs or whatever, like tight boxers. Yeah. I'm talking like the frilly box. When you get when you're first entering Boxerville, when you're serious. You know them ones.
Yeah.
No top.
What?
No top.
Okay.
Black night jacket. Right. Locks. Matted.
Oh, okay.
Beard. Mess. hands in his one hand in his tracksuit bombs. Man's just bopping. I see him. I just see he's mumbling something.
Yeah.
As he gets closer to me now, I hear him say, if anyone looks me in the eye, I'm going to fucking kill them.
Oh my goodness.
I tell you, Mike, this is me on the phone. I just by Peckham right, I just walked out into the road. I'd rather get hit by a bus than have to deal with this brother. So I ride and look him in the eye. I just walked out in the road. I had no problems. But now my man's behind me.
Yeah, you don't know where he's coming.
I don't know what he's on.
Yeah.
And this is what I'm talking about. You don't know where the crazy is going to fuck you.
Yeah. You got to have your wits about you, man.
So I had to turn around to see where he was.
When did you?
When I turned around, I looked him dead in the eye.
Woo! How come you here, man?
Huh? Do you want to know how I'm here?
How do you?
It's not PC.
So what you got to say?
I pretended I was blind.
Oh, wow.
I said, has anyone seen my guide dog?
Oh, goodness gracious.
And he walked off.
Oh, goodness gracious.
I'm here to tell. You don't know when these crazy people are going to buck you and they're not trying to teach you people on the road.
That man said, if you look at my...
He said, if anyone, not just me, anyone could get it that day.
Anyone looks me in the eye...
I'm going to fucking kill them.
Yeah, that's different.
And I tell you what, Mike.
Yeah.
I believed him.
I think you were going to say that publicly. I think you're going to be a bit... Yeah, you're gonna believe your chat.
Yeah, I believed him.
I don't think you say something like that publicly if you don't believe that you're gonna do it.
The look, the area, the dialogue. I said, he might know Giggs personally.
Wow. So, okay, Peckham is okay an area where you don't get involved in any road rage. Yeah. You're reticent.
Yeah, but let me balance it up. Another area.
Okay.
Luton.
You know, well, Luton needs to start again.
That's where the EDL was started.
No, yeah, Luton.
I went there the other day and it was like,
what, for a gig.
It was either, yeah, it was either just before or during when the riots were happening. I walked past this pub. I said, "This is long."
The pub.
Huh?
Well, the man in the pub were
just bear Terry's.
The thing is,
Terry and Dave's.
The funny thing about Luton is obviously I know it's where EDL is based and stuff like that, but
it's very multicultural.
It's very yeah. That's the thing. Like I'd expect that from somewhere where it's Mitty's very
everywhere.
Yeah, Luton start again. I remember I went there for when my boy went uni there, uni of Bedfordshire, Luton campus, and this was. Because I went a year after my friend's uni. So while they're all doing freshers, I was just around. So I'll just go during their first, I'll just go around, just go vibe and stuff. One of my other friends, he didn't go uni straight away as well. So we'll just about. We'll just go to different people's unis together and vibe. So I went to one sort of uni rave in Luton. Then after, we'll stand out there. And one of his like friends comes over and he's like, "Oh, you man got to back it." I said, "Back? What?" Like, back what? Hey, the man are chatting shit. I said, look, I'm just a visitor here. I'm not getting involved in any issue. I'm looking for kebab and bed. That's my plan tonight. I don't know who you're going to beef or squash. I'm looking for lamb sheesh. I'm not getting involved in no squalor. I'm like, how is that the vibe? I had gone to several unions. I've never been questioned of my loyalty to someone I've not even met. I just met. So, and I saw some crazy stuff in Luton, like people driving it, like cars driving into like off licenses. I said, yeah, this is just start again.
I imagine if when you die, you respawn in Luton.
Yeah, call me again.
Wake up, yes.
Just take me to another realm. This ain't the one for me. Yeah, Luton.
Respawn somewhere else.
I'm sorry, Luton, they need to start again. They really just need to start.
Them ends there, like, yeah. So just to balance it up.
Yeah.
When I'm walking around certain ends on the road. Like when I went in Glasgow.
Yeah.
First time.
Mm-hmm.
Never been in Glasgow before.
Yeah, okay.
All I know about Glasgow is this once used to be the shank capital of Europe.
Yeah.
Not just Great Britain.
Yeah, yeah.
Of Europe, they're shanking the most.
Yeah, they were active.
I said, I took an Uber. I have no qualms. I think I was a dad by then as well. I had no
qualms. What, from the hotel in Glasgow to Glee?
No. But the Glee one I bopped to. This was for a different brand.
Okay.
And this was my first time. I hadn't done Glee Glasgow by then. This is my first time in Glasgow. Didn't know where I was. Didn't know what the vibe
was. You got the train up, yeah?
Yeah.
Mm.
But I just Ubered it to the gig, fam.
That's hilarious.
I said I ain't got time to buck no one. This man shanked properly out here.
But then that's old news, to be fair. And okay, you probably felt safe when you
just
were
just because they're not the leaders doesn't mean they ain't on shanking still. I don't know who lost that football today. I don't know what black player missed the penalty. I don't know.
So you'll take the chance. So you didn't take any chance. You took the Uber. That's crazy.
There and back both days.
That is.
Wow. But now, not like I said, I'm not a tough guy. But now I bop Glasgow, no problem.
Yeah, Glasgow, like
I bop all around. I walked the first time. The second when I went to do Glee Glasgow, I covered Glasgow. Like my man went almost out the city centre.
There's this like cemetery thing. I got told by one of the Glasgow, I can't remember what it's called. It's right behind the Glasgow Royal Infirmary. I think it's like this big like cemetery, and it's the highest point of Glasgow. You can see like Celtic Park. You can see into like the city centre and stuff. So I mean, I've gone on treks. I try to do that now. If I'm in the city, I want to go explore the.
Yeah, it's only local. It's only good for one time though. After you do the first
time. Oh yeah, of course.
So yeah, that's my point. Is that look. Black, white, Asian, Latino, tall, small, in the ends, not in the ends, Prius, BMW.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I'm getting vibes from you that I'm not going to win this altercation,
You're out.
I'm out.
You're done.
I'm out. It's not a race thing. It's not a car thing.
No, it just sounded the way you said, you know, if they're listening to drill.
Obviously,
then you narrowed it down and said if they're using one of three brands of vehicle and said tints.
Look, that doesn't bode well.
That's suggestive.
That doesn't bode well. It doesn't fill me with bags of confidence.
Rude. Is you,
but let me tell you something. Yeah. I would do that to my car, so let me give you the benefit of the doubt.
Okay.
Let me tell you something. I'll still pull up to the car. It's what I see inside.
Okay. And then
if too many things start lining up.
Yeah. That's when you're like, you know what? So there's a popular, I think it's Caribbean phrase, if not, it's Caribbean phrase, I don't know if it's Jamaican, but Duppy know who to frighten. I'll probably say it.
Duppy know who to frighten.
So would you say that's applicable here? You know who to frighten?
I'm not a ghost. A Duppy is a ghost.
Well, I'm guessing the phrase means you know who you can shake up, who you can't shake up.
No, let me. It's just been a tough time. I'm just sick and tired of these men in cars thinking they're bad because I'm not bad, and I know when I see a real bad boy in a car. So
I'm a bad man. Ask Carlos. When you
fuck these bad boys for real. Hey, yeah, I hope God's watching.
But do you have a baby on board sign in your car?
No.
Why not?
For what?
That may be the thing that stops these road rage people. They may see the baby on board sign and be like, "Oh, I've got a little kid in there."
Nah, man, I don't want you to take. I don't want you to respect me because of my kids. I want you to respect me because of me.
You're a funny guy, man.
But if I my kids was in the car, I wouldn't be in that lane anyway. And I wouldn't be doing semi.
So, the fact you didn't have a kid is to blame.
No. It's the fact that hey, I'm following the law.
You can't.
How are you getting mad at me for not breaking the law?
Yeah, that's true. I just shift, man. I don't even bother, man.
I just shift. Give me a second. As soon as you flash me. Hey.
But if I see you coming with pace, I'll just shift, man.
Yeah, if I see you coming with pace. But even if you flash me from afar, hey, yeah. I'm not moving. Who are you? You don't own me. You can't tell me what to do.
You're getting into beef on the road.